For Making Waves, I'm Tom Jackson, and I'm talking with the folks from Rubia, which is an organization that works in both Afghanistan and in Portsmouth. We're talking with Rachel Lair and Jeannie Fries. And let's start off with talking about what it is that that Rubia does.
Rubia works in Afghanistan, has worked there for a couple of years now with women in the countryside and in the capital city of Kabul, providing income and education in a land that is devastated by war and drought.
Okay, and Rachel, you were just there recently in Afghanistan, sorry.
Yeah, I just came back at the beginning of September. I was there for part of the summer. I was working on helping with the training that we were doing. We recently trained 200 women in the countryside to do sort of advanced embroidery, training them how to work, how to take instruction, how to do fine work, working with the materials that we use there, setting up a literacy project for the women that we work with. Part of what we do in Afghanistan, too, is look for marketing for our materials, selling our work both in Kabul to the foreign community there and finding the marketing venues outside of Afghanistan. For instance, we sell quite a bit of the work that the women do here in the United States, in particular in New Hampshire.
So you actually see some parts of Afghanistan firsthand. That, I mean, not that there are hundreds of people from the U.S. going over visiting Afghanistan, but generally speaking, most folks from the states who go there are pretty much confined to Kabul. And you go out to other parts of it and see it. Where in Afghanistan are you going to?
You're right. Not only am I not confined to Kabul, but I travel with Afghans and live with Afghans, which I don't know any other Americans who do. And we're working in an area called Dar-e-Noor. It's a valley called Dar-e-Noor, which means Valley of Light. It's outside Jalalabad. It takes about 3 hours from Kabul, going east to Jalalabad, 3-4 hours by road, depending on the conditions, and then another hour or so to get up into the valley north, into the mountains. And that road is only about 20 miles distance, but it's such bad condition that it takes a long time to get there. So I'm really lucky. I speak Afghan Dari. It's a language I studied back in college and have been able to pick up again, and have really done all the work I do using that language.
Have you ever had an experience? I mean, that you're talking about an area of Afghanistan that most people from the United States would probably not want to go to, because it's known to be a rather dangerous area. Have you ever felt afraid while you were there?
I've never felt really afraid in Afghanistan. And for a lot of the foreign workers, the American workers who are there, they would love to be able to get out and get into some of those areas, but they're not allowed to. Their security is such that they're kept from leaving the embassy compound or the place that they work. Most of the foreign aid workers work in an office. They have a driver that takes them home, and then they go back to the office in the morning. They're not allowed these days even to walk around the streets of Kabul. My experience is the complete opposite. I don't get to work in a nice office, and I don't have that kind of nice driver, but I do get to go wherever I want to. I am on the listserv for, or it's a list that comes out from the U.S. Embassy, the warden's list, that tells you the dangers every week, and it'll tell you who's been kidnapped last week or who was almost kidnapped. And for the last couple weeks, there's been this warning that goes out that says, for Americans should not be on the Kabul-Jalalabad road because there's known to be a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device. It says VBIED, and then it explains vehicle-borne improvised explosive device along the road there. And in fact, the most recent one said, this vehicle will be parked at a gas station. The hood might be up. It might look like somebody is checking the oil. I couldn't believe this one. Like, we're supposed to be looking out for these things, but best of all, just don't go on that road. And most foreigners don't go on that road. They'll fly back and forth. But I travel that road, and I just don't. I wear burqa when I'm traveling in Afghanistan so that people don't recognize me as a foreigner. And I guess we won't be stopping at any gas stations sometime soon.
Yeah, make sure you got a full tank before you head out.
I mean, it's so bizarre. You gotta see these warnings. They're just bizarre.
Well, I've seen some of the work that the women in Afghanistan do, and it's absolutely beautiful. Jeannie, as you're an upholsterer here in town, and you have sort of a special relationship with Rubia. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, when I traveled over a couple of years ago to Kabul, I met with one of the women and we developed a business relationship where she does one-of-a-kind pieces for me to put specifically on one-of-a-kind pieces of furniture. So I sell those, and also we raffle them off as fundraisers for the organization. But that's a separate business, and what I'll do is donate about 10% back to Rubia and then pay Hafiza directly for her product.
Okay, and while we're on the subject, where can we find the Rubia products here in New Hampshire?
We are selling at European Home right now. They've opened up part of their store through the month of October for all of our product. So we have our full line displayed there. And we also have a chair and a tote bag being raffled for a fundraiser. European Home is behind the Portsmouth Herald, and it is on Vaughan Street.
We also have a show coming up starting in on November 4th. We have a show opening up at Little River Oriental Rugs on Main Street in Concord, right at the heart of downtown Concord, and that show will run through the month of November featuring our whole line of products.
Does Rubia have a website, and can you give us the address for that?
Rubia has a website. It's rubiahandwork.org. Some of the current information is on there. We'd love to have people volunteer. We have a wish list. So anybody interested in helping us with our website or graphic design or some technical issues, design issues, we have lots of people have come to us asking how they can help us. So people have given us sewing needles and threads and yarns and fabric. What else have people given us? Clothing that we have sent to Afghanistan. All kinds of things that should be listed on our website. You know, one of the things I think that's interesting is that here we are in rural New Hampshire, and Afghanistan, for the most part, even in the city of Kabul, is pretty much a rural country. And there's that connection of rural to rural, of being concerned about people who are tied to their land and connected to their land in a way that we can appreciate in New Hampshire. And developing not only as a larger organization and business relationships, but also individual relationships. For example, Jeannie, taking the risk of going to Afghanistan and meeting a woman there and developing a business relationship is fabulous. And other artists have come to us and said, I'd like to do some design piece for you. And working with people directly in Afghanistan, it keeps coming up. And I think it's a strong New Hampshire-Afghanistan connection.
Rachel, one of the things that seems to always come up in terms of, you know, when we talk about Afghanistan, even in the now post-Taliban era, is relationships between men and women. You know, there's the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan that have done a lot of really brave work in Afghanistan for many, many years. They were kind of a focal point in the media prior to the U.S. invading Afghanistan and helping to oust the Taliban. But now we don't really hear from them so much, and it's not because they're not there, they're still there and doing great work. But there's almost a sense, and I was told this by some very prominent women in Afghanistan when I was there in 2004, there's almost a sense that from the Afghan perspective, people in the United States just think that everything's just fine now with, you know, with women and how they're treated in Afghanistan and those kind of things. What are you seeing when you're there?
I think the initial stories that came out after the fall of the Taliban was these images of women tearing off their burqas and going out in public, and it made a big splash, but it's not representative of what life was like in Afghanistan or is like now. So many people say to me when they see the burqa that I have, oh, women are still wearing burqas, because they remember them taking them off. The burqa's been a part of Afghan life for a long time. It's an old tradition of theirs. It's